Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just praise you for this evening and these days. They're very special days, and although we don't know the fullness of what you have planned for us, we realize that we're in that time where you're desiring to bring forth your best in our lives. And we just thank you, Father, that we are on pace, proper pace, to receive everything you have for us in this time. And we just give you all the glory for that, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm going to continue on with the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and a subtitle might be The Quickening Power of the Holy Spirit. So I'm just going to touch on things as he leads me. I thought I might be dealing with revelation knowledge today, but I don't think I'm going to do much, but maybe touch a bit on that, more in the the area of the quickening of our mortal body, as well as just the quickening of our faith, all things, to be empowered in all things by him. So in Psalm 25:9 in King James, the scripture says, "The meek he will guide in judgment, and the meek he will teach his way." You know, in these days, we absolutely have to have a kingdom consciousness, a body of Christ consciousness, but we need to have a consciousness of the Holy Spirit. Because believe me, those who are truly entering into the fullness of their destiny are going to need total empowerment of the Holy Spirit to carry out God's will. That's the way it always has been. It's just that there's been a lot of excess activity outside the power of the Holy Spirit, and of course it's caused a mess. But God is raising up a people in the earth who have given their hearts wholly to his will, and to have that will carried out exactly the way that he wants it. And it's going to be an awesome time in these days ahead. The great things are planned. John 14:26 in the Amplified says, "But the Comforter, Counselor, Helper, Intercessor, Advocate, Strengthener, Standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name to represent me and act on my behalf, he will teach you all things." Now, again, getting or having a Holy Spirit consciousness, or a consciousness of the Holy Spirit, depends a lot on understanding who he is, you know, as the Bible shows us, and allowing him to have control of our lives. Like I've said before, when the Holy control is not a bad word when the Holy Spirit's involved, because of course he's always doing and instructing us in the perfect way and in the perfect things. So again, having a revelation that he will teach us all things. And you know, the ultimate goal for every Christian should be to enter into that place of abiding in perfect obedience. And that means we make our dwelling there. We dwell there. And in that place, there are many benefits, such as being sensitive to the Holy Spirit and a whole host of other benefits in partaking of his ministry. And I'll deal with it now. In 2 Peter, the scripture says, "His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness." And again, another absolute scripture. When God says everything, we don't need to stop and think whether he left anything out. And that's important. It's important for us to know that, and most importantly, to have a revelation of that in our heart. Because then we truly end up seeking first the kingdom, and we truly end up seeking God's power, and that causes us to rise above the fleshly tendency to lean upon one's own understanding, because you're going to lean on one or the other. And, you know, God's raising up a remnant, a spotless and unblemished church where there is no taintedness, there is no compromise in the way of the Christian life. There is such a thing as the true Christian life, and that's something that God wants to reveal to us through the Holy Spirit, and also, of course, empower us to live it. A very precious revelation is the fact that, you know, we can't do that ourselves. If we could, we would have done it a long time ago. The fact is that God will have a spotless and unblemished church, and it will be totally empowered by the Holy Spirit. And, you know, that may seem impossible at times. You know, through the years, it has seemed impossible. But what God says will come to pass when he finds a people who will believe his word and act upon it. John 16:13 states, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth," or he will guide you into absolute truth, or an absolute, or a revelation of the absoluteness of God. That's important because, you know, people, and this is, of course, is the devil's scheme, to try and get us to visualize or come to a perverse understanding of who God really is. And of course, it always falls short of the fullness of his character and his great love towards us. And so it's very important for us to rise above any preconceived notions that the devil tries to get us to take or to maintain, and really come to understand that what God says he means, and what he means he says all the time. Galatians 5:25 in the Amplified says, "If we live by the Holy Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. If by the Holy Spirit we have our life in God, let us go forward, walking in line, our conduct controlled by the Holy Spirit." And, you know, many people spend their entire lives, of course, they've been in control situations, and they can't come to understand that when God commands us or when God instructs us, it's always for our greatest eternal benefit, and ultimately the greatest eternal benefit of all those with whom we have to do. And, you know, this is the time where, you know, people are going to have to make that decision to let go of any fear that they've held to, and allow the Holy Spirit to be shed abroad in their heart by remaining in proper fellowship with the Father and his Word, and allowing that perfect love to cast out every ground of fear. And in that place of that ground being cast out comes the fullness of the Holy Spirit in that area. So in places perhaps that the Christian has relied on their own understanding because of fear in the past, they'll now be able to allow God to control their life in that area. And in doing so, they'll be able to, again, take that step in and towards the fullness of their destiny. And again, that should be the burning desire of every Christian. You know, all these things that are being taught concerning the gospel of the kingdom are based, again, on a heart wholly given to God. It doesn't work apart from that. So it's no use people trying to figure that out and see what works for them, because I'm telling you, we've already entered it. We've entered a time that was prophesied concerning Jubilee blessing, concerning the remnant church rising up, the glorious church rising up. But we've also entered a time of great darkness in the earth. And Isaiah 60 verse 2 says, "For behold, darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the peoples." That has happened. That is happening now. And the glorious news about that is, we should never get down about that, because that's going to happen, is that it will provide a very strong contrast to the glorious church, as God perfectly releases the fullness of his plan in this hour. So again, we can't get into that. We can never be concerned with what the devil's doing except to acknowledge God, so that we can find out how to overcome that perfectly and crush him in the process. So that was important in Galatians 5:25. If we live by the Spirit, let us walk by the Spirit. Again, it should be the Christian's deepest heart desire to acknowledge God in all their ways and allow him to direct our paths, because we know the devil's trying to direct our paths, and we know God desires to direct our paths. So there's one path, its way leads to life, and the other path leads to death and darkness and being consumed by that deep darkness that's covering the earth. And it is a dangerous thing, because there are many, I don't spend a lot of time dwelling on it, but I mean, you can actually see a lot of the prophecies. When I first began to study prophecy and receive prophecies, it seemed like a real strange deal that was going to happen in the end times. But you know, over the last 20 plus years, this thing has unfolded very, very smoothly as far as the Antichrist system goes, and also as far as the remnant church being raised up, I might add. And it's not so spooky after all, and there's it's very important for the Christian to walk in the light as he is in the light, because if they don't, they're going to walk in the darkness and think they're walking in the light. And we, you know, we're not going to go there now, but boy, it's really, really important. I mean, I was just thinking, you know, in the prayer that was prayed before about praying for the safety of the people, and I thought about people being in the right place at the right time. I mean, if a Christian is obedient, and this again goes back to spiritual environments, true spiritual environments being established in whatever form throughout the earth. If people will obey, then they will be in the safety of God's presence and in his refuge, you know, in the cleft of the rock, so to speak, regardless of what's going on, or what, and we don't know where certain things are going to happen necessarily. But the fact is, if the Christian is obedient, they will always be moved out in the right time. And that's important now. So I just, when that prayer was prayed, I thought, you know, it's really important for people to get a revelation of what they're supposed to be doing, whatever that means, wherever they are in the body of Christ. Because when you're walking in the center of God's will, you're walking in His perfect protection. That's very important. You know, it's not the type of thing in these days where one wants to, you know, find out that they made. Well, you know, people really aren't making serious mistakes unless they're in some form of rebellion, in some sort of agreement with that. I mean, mistakes are nothing. God can correct those as we're learning. But to willfully avoid the will of God in this hour is a dangerous thing because, like I said, the devil's trying to get every Christian to a certain place, and God is trying to get everybody to a certain place, whatever that may mean to them. And it's important that we're in God's place. And that will become even more important as we see the need for the establishment of cities of refuge and so on. That's a real thing. I mean, people, I keep thinking of that scripture about as in the days of Noah, you know, things will be like that. And it's true. I mean, we're seeing that happen. But the reality of the situation is that God desires to move suddenly in these days. Well, the devil's a counterfeiter. He will try to move suddenly. Of course, his main thrust as far as getting the child of God to move or speak in a wrong manner is suddenness, and like a sudden oppression, a sudden situation where fear or panic tries to rise up. When the things that happen that have been prophesied concerning the remnant church happen, they won't be sudden to those who have been in the will of God, to those who have been seeking God. As the scripture says, it will seem like a dream at first. But we will know that as God's plan unfolds, that He's already revealed certain things to our heart, and it's just the unfolding of His plan. Whereas the devil just tries to suddenly strike. 1 John 2:27 in the Amplified says, "But as for you, the sacred appointment, the unction, the anointing which you have received from Him abides permanently in you. So then you have no need that anyone, flesh and blood, should instruct you. But just as His anointing teaches you concerning everything and is true and is no falsehood, so you must abide. Live never to depart, rooted in Him, knit to Him, just as His anointing has taught you to do." See, the anointing within us is always drawing us into intimacy with God. Always, because as we've spoken many, many times before here, it is the key to all things. You name anything, it's the key to it. It's the key to the fullness of your destiny, and it's the key to the fullness of God's plan unfolding for the corporate church also. So that's very important. You know, I'm a living witness to this. I can remember when I was starting out and there came a time, this is over 20 years ago now, but there came a time where the people I was associated with, or the church, they were willing to send me to seminary. And so, you know, I was thinking on that because I didn't, how else would you possibly become a minister unless you went to seminary? I almost said cemetery, and we'd be directly accurate if I said cemetery in this case. But anyway, that was my thought. But I remember one day, as clear as crystal, I walked out the front door of my house, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and He said, "I will teach you all things." And I mean, it was a revelation from heaven, you know, but I thought, wow, that's interesting. I don't know how that's going to unfold, but over the years it has. And, you know, through many trials and tribulations, and He's been faithful to teach me, you know, as I would go into that place of the inner chamber. But most importantly, He would always confirm it through others in the body. And believe me, it was a very small body for a number of years there because it's not the way it is now. No internet, no glorious connections really hadn't been established too much at that time. Yeah, but He was faithful always. I mean, in the strangest ways sometimes, but always. And believe me, and every one of you know this, when you set out to do the will of God and you get a revelation from God and you act on it and the people around you don't have a revelation from God or they're not seeking one, you're going to run into persecution. You're going to have people tell you that the vision that God gave you is wrong. They're going to tell you that you're not walking in love. They're going to say exactly what's in their heart because that's the only way they can judge that situation. But that's the whole key, and I don't want to get into this way. I'd like to, actually, but I will talk about the importance of revelation It is an all-consuming importance. I mean, Shelley read the scripture last Tuesday, I guess it was, from Habakkuk about holding fast the vision and writing it on tablets. Another key scripture. As a matter of fact, as she was preaching that, I was thinking that beyond Luke 10:27, which is the divine requirement, loving the Lord your God with all your heart, that scripture was burned on my heart. And it wasn't that long ago that it came up again before Shelley taught it, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said, because I saw the importance of that scripture about recording the vision, recording the revelation, or speaking the revelation, however it's, of course, being recorded on tape now, but for these people that are coming forth now, that they may run the race perfectly, and they won't have to go through 30 years of dealings or 20 years of dealings. And we've seen examples in this church of the young people getting hold of the revelation from the throne room, and not only getting hold of it, but as they go in their time in the inner chamber, God is expanding it to them, and then they're bringing it back to the body. It's a marvelous thing to behold. Of course, the whole church is supposed to be like that, but it is a marvelous thing to behold, and great fruit will be born because of that process in the days ahead. So the Holy Spirit is, or God is faithful to finish the work he's begun in us, and the Holy Spirit is faithful to teach us all things. You know, I mean, if we're a Christian, shouldn't be of the ilk that they know everything or they know what's going on. I'm telling you, as we get further and further into this last hour, I am just astonished at how simple this really is becoming. It's a matter of remaining humble before God and realizing that what is about to happen is totally beyond the comprehension of even our sanctified intellect. Because, of course, we don't look back to see. We've seen glimpses, but we can't really look back to see what's going to happen. And we can't really look forward apart from revelation and the things that the Holy Spirit's revealed, because it's an awesome thing that's going to happen. God himself is going to come and dwell in the midst of his people. I mean, you tell me what's going to happen. Like I say, we've seen glimpses, but we need to be ready. That's my point. And so when we're people who are allow ourselves to be completely controlled by the Holy Spirit, then we are going to be in our position, not deviating from our own path, and we're going to see that power of God and the movement of God through the Holy Spirit exponentially increase. So that's why I always tell people, don't worry. Well, don't worry at all anyway, but don't worry or get into anxiety about any situation in your own life or in the lives of those you're praying for, God's having you pray for, because the things that are now are soon not to be at all. And that is good news. So you can believe for God's best, and he's going to do exceeding abundantly beyond all you could ask or think for you and for all those that you're praying for and believing for. That's just reality, because there's faith being released now. And, you know, our God is an unlimited God. And when he finds a people who are exercising an absolute faith, then he is unlimited in what he can do, and you will see the fullness of those results. Fear is a foolish thing in the sight of God. Because all we're doing when we get into fear is believing the lies of the devil instead of believing the absolute truth of God. So, you know, it really is, it gets down to the fact where we really need to catch ourselves. Again, bringing every thought captive to the revelation that God has given us, or the one, you know, we're seeking revelation in any given moment, and then we're attaching ourselves to that. We're holding fast. I was thinking today, you know, I was just thinking of some of the wild times, you know, in the past about the warfare and everything else, and the Holy Spirit just said to me, he said, there's a difference between holding fast and hanging on. And there is. Hanging on is not so pleasant. It isn't. But holding fast is a place of strength in the Spirit and perfect positioning before God. Again, we talked about the fact that every child of God must have a revelation of the divine requirement. I have to emphasize that, because I see the people who don't and what they're doing and where they are, and it's not a good thing. They don't understand anything, because they've locked God out. And, you know, once we block the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom and revelation out, then you see we begin to practice leaning upon our own understanding, and that just continually fuels that, and then self-desire rises up, and then everything gets counterfeited by the devil, and people just get into darkness. And that's no place to be in this hour. I mean, it's not just so that we can rise above the snares of the enemy and be protected. It certainly is that. But it's also to see the plan of God with our eyes wide open and really experience the joy of God. I mean, there's great joy in heaven and in the heart of the Father because of this great release. Finally, finally, God can unfold his plan the way he wants to do it. And we want to have our eyes wide open to see that. And of course, we know the opposite. The people who don't are going to say that, well, that's not God. You know, it's hard to imagine, except they did the same religious spirits worked in the time of Jesus, and they didn't even recognize him as the Messiah. And neither will people with religious spirits recognize the glorious church for what it is. But again, the glorious church, individually and corporately, will be a church that moves into God's presence and then moves out in obedience to the Holy Spirit, moves back in and then moves out. And with pinpoint accuracy throughout the earth, God will accomplish his perfect purpose. And in many cases, you know, the things in the world will go on. You know, the Antichrist system being built up and strengthened and so on. But the glorious church will fulfill all that God created her for. He likened it, he likened it to almost like we'd be secret agents. And I don't mean we're hiding our light under a bushel. But because of the tremendous... the tremendous clash between the forces. There are just certain things. Just to give an example, Jesus, when he came to the festival or the feast, he ended up at the gate where the water was, and there was a religious feast going on in the other part. Well, Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit off from that, not where the center of attention was, and healed a man there. And it will be the same way in this last hour. As individual Christians are obedient to the Holy Spirit, great things will be accomplished. And believe me, every person who truly has a heart towards God, I don't care where they are now, born again or not born again, they will see the glorious church and they will enter in to the fullness of what God has for them. Luke 11:13. Now, this is a scripture that's again emphasizes the importance of having a relationship with the Father and knowing his heart towards us. It says in Luke 11:13, if you then know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? You know, and just as I read that, I thought how important it is to know him better than we know anyone or anything else. Because if we don't, then there's still going to be a reliance on flesh and blood. And that can be absolutely fatal in this last hour. It's certainly fatal to your spirituality, no question about it. Not only is that a selfish act, but it also prevents us from representing God properly because it leads to, self-focus and so on. And Jesus made it clear. He basically said, if you love anything or anyone more than me, you're not fit to be my disciple. And he wasn't being mean about that. He was stating a spiritual fact. He was stating spiritual reality. In other words, if a heart is filled with any form of idolatry, then they will not end up serving God and they will not end up representing God. So again, absolute truths. And you know, this is the time that the Holy Spirit is really revealing the absoluteness of these truths to people. Just people who are seeking him, seeking God, seeking the fullness of God's plan. And so we can be partakers of that. He's not just revealing it to the apostles and prophets. He's revealing it to those whose hearts are towards him and those who are truly seeking first the kingdom. Because if you seek first the kingdom and keep on seeking, you're going to find the revelation that you need to know imperfectly, day in, day out. None of us need to know the whole plan from here to the end anyways. You know, there is enough with each day to really partake of this thing. And as we see this unfold, that's really going to become evident. We're going to be acclimatized to God's presence, and we're going to see this thing with our eyes wide open. I prayed a prayer a few weeks ago, and I just chuckled because I remember in the beginning I used to pray certain prayers, you know, do the deepest work of the cross in me, Father. You know, and then you'd spend about 3 weeks, solid weeks, every fear in you being confronted constantly, about five times. And it was painful, you know. And so, you know, I just said, you know, Father, I want to see the fullness of Jubilee blessing come to those who've been faithful in the body. And I want to see with my eyes wide open, you know. So, okay, so when I prayed that, the first thing that happened was the devil just starts raging. You know, I see the warfare going on because he knows what's going to happen when people step in to the fullness of Jubilee blessing. It's the point of no return. there's coming a point where the remnant church will walk nonstop supernaturally till the catching away of the church. He knows that. It's been prophesied, and God's always good to throw that up in his face as much as possible. And so, anyway, I said, well, yeah, I want to see this with my eyes wide open. You know, I'm thinking, well, yeah, great, we'll see the blessings and all that'd be great. But no, I had to see the warfare and see some of the negative things, but it didn't matter. Because what I do see in the midst of this, and I'm gonna deal with this in a bit, is the perseverance and the steadfastness of those whose hearts are wholly given, the unshakableness of those who have taken the time to gain revelation. And I mean, we're not talking about a small attack. When somebody prophesied there'd be an increase in warfare, they weren't kidding. I heard that here, but I also heard that from another place. And it's true, and we need to move to that next level. Well, that next level is just simply continuing on in absolute faith, and moving in the things that God's revealed to us. Not just up until that time, but as he reveals it to us in this season. 1 Peter 1:16 says, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." Funny, you know, I read these scriptures, and, you know, when I first started out, I thought, I don't know how any of this could come to pass. And again, as I began to pray for the glorious church, in those years, those early years, everything started to go backwards. I mean, in other words, everything I was proclaiming and everything God was teaching me, everything I saw was exactly the opposite of that. Well, that was just the carnal church, the denominational structure. And so that's really basically how God taught me to walk by faith, because if I didn't believe that what God had said to me, and I believed it because I got it in his presence, then I would have just compromised or gone out into that, that worldly compromise, and that's no good. But God has raised up a people who have been steadfast in this, and it's critical. And I'm getting a bit ahead of myself here, so I'll just finish this. And three steps to receiving divine guidance by the Holy Spirit. First of all, the surrender of our heart entirely to God. We need to be ever ready and willing. And these are spontaneous manifestations, because if you do that, then you are going to have a sensitive heart that's ever ready and willing at all times to obey or yield to the Holy Spirit. Even the simplest instruction. Bill said it on Sunday. You don't know one simple little instruction or one little word spoken. You have no idea what God's planning to do on that. And it's important. Never think, well, that doesn't seem like it'll do much. If you believe it's God, do it. You know, and a lot of times we'll get instructions that they're harmless. Like, I'll just give you an example. He may say, well, okay, I want you to go to the post office for whatever purpose. Well, you may go and nothing happens. Well, so what? All right, you just say, oh, well, okay. But if you go and something happens, you see what I mean? So we don't always have to say, oh, well, I don't want to miss God, and I don't want to, you just can't be like that. There are some things, of course, you don't act at all until you're absolutely certain, but if you just begin to flow like that, amazing things can happen. I remember in the early years, here's God wanting to leave me, you know, so, you know, if he couldn't say, well, okay, I want you to go to so-and-so. I had to have a reason to do everything pretty well. So he'd say, well, no, I want you to go down there because, remember, you need some of those, you need groceries there or something. So I go down there, and sure enough, there was some related event. So I didn't quite have the pinpoint accuracy down at that point, but I had ballpark accuracy. So at least he got me into the ballpark, and then he was able to move from there. But really, he really rejoices and delights in us obeying him, and we can see some amazing things. I believe a lot of the signs, you know, you mention all the time, that when you're walking in that place of sensitivity to the Spirit, you'll see signs you never thought possible. One of the times in the 7 days that I mentioned the experience I had 8 years ago, one of them was that almost everything was a sign. I mean, you looked and you could see God. I mean, it was amazing. Believe me, our comprehension of spiritual things is about to increase in a manner that you never thought possible this side of heaven. So there are some certain things to get to look forward to, and that's why it's so important to be steadfast in our faith. And then, of course, the third thing, we have to have that full and absolute trust in the Father, in the Son, in the Holy Spirit, in the Word of God. And that, of course, can only be brought about by constant and daily fellowship with God. I mean, you know, these things I'm preaching, they don't seem so difficult or so hard to understand in one sense, except that you've got a devil that's trying to keep you out of that place. Because if he can't accomplish anything else in your life, if he can keep you out of that place, then he can keep you out of the place of power, Power for what? Power for all things. So that's important. We need to have sensitive hearts. And then we'll have divine guidance. And of course, I just talked briefly about it in the first message that, you know, we can in no way affect holiness in our own lives. I mean, Paul wrote, and it wasn't really at the beginning of his ministry either. He wrote, he says, I know that nothing good dwells in me, no, not in my flesh. He knew. So he had a revelation of the cross. He had a revelation that there is no good in the flesh, that the flesh profits nothing. Jesus said it himself. I love the absoluteness on these statements. When he says the flesh profits nothing, shouldn't be trying to figure out what to do in our own strength. And then I talked a bit about the fact that, we don't, our life in Christ doesn't consist of trying to imitate him in our own strength. That is a very, very frustrating thing. If you want to find out the definition of frustration, just try. Try to operate in the fruit of the Spirit apart from the Spirit. You know, your patience, quote unquote, will become impatience very quickly, and so on and so on. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Again, a revelation. We need to have a revelation of that. Three effects of the indwelling Holy Spirit. Continued, and that's indwelling, dwelling all the time, allowing him to have control. Continued deliverance from indwelling sin through the indwelling Holy Spirit, or the power of sin, you might say. You know, the difference between allowing the Holy Spirit to control your life is the difference between abiding in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus or still being afflicted by the law of sin and death, which is not necessary. We don't need to allow that to happen. And we're coming to the time now where, you know, we're playing for all the marbles now. I mean, this is really it. And so the fact is that there will be people who enter into this fullness that God has for them, but there will also be people, and Bill, you mentioned leaven on the weekend. That is a dangerous thing because indeed leaven will go through the whole loaf. And the fact is that every child of God needs to allow God to deal with any ground of fear, as I mentioned before, any ground of willfulness, any ground of rebellion, if it's got to that point, because that holding on to that ground will bring darkness into the whole picture. That's a fact. That's not something we just want to believe that if we're walking and abiding in that leaven of righteousness, then that will consume the whole loaf, and that's where we should be. Because people are moving in any given moment, one way or the other, towards light, the true light, or towards darkness. And it's a dangerous thing in this day. Number two, the empowerment of obedience. In other words, the empowerment to abide in perfect obedience. You know, sin consciousness for centuries has proclaimed that that's impossible, but it's not. If it was impossible, God wouldn't have required it and made the provision for us to walk in it. And then I'm going to step into this a bit now. The third one, one of the major effects, is the quickening life for our bodies. And really what that comes down to is the anointing for every task we are given through the indwelling Spirit of God. And, you know, I shared a bit the last time, but just about the time that you feel the most tired you've been, or you know, if there's certain thoughts the devil's trying to put in your heart as far as you can't do this or whatever, you know, you're going to be called to faith. And so when you're walking and when you step out in faith, that anointing will be there. And sometimes that's maybe the scariest thing we'll face because of whatever, fear of failure, fear of not being able to finish what we started. But when you start out in obedience to God, that anointing will be there. And that's just a spiritual fact. Romans 8:11 in the King James Version says, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. And again, one of the great manifestations of the Holy Spirit in the church, the remnant church in this last hour, will be that overflowing resurrection power dwelling in his people. And
that's going to cause many things to happen. And not the least of which is going to be those people who are abiding in that place of his empowerment, entering into divine health. You know, I'm going to touch on that a bit later. Isaiah 40, 29 and 31, he gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. So we don't have any excuse just to say, well, I'm too tired, I'm too this, I'm too that. God has made the provision if we will partake of it. Those who wait for, and again, that encompasses obedience. The days of waiting for buses are over on the wrong street. Those who obey the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount, you know what the new strength is. It's not just more strength, it's his strength as opposed to our own strength, which got us tired in the first place. When you start out in your own strength, you're going to get tired. The devil will see to that. But when you are trusting in God, then you will have that. And that's something for us to take as a seed into our heart and believe that, because we don't know exactly what God's going to call us to in this last hour. But we can know that we have the strength to do it. You know, Philippians says, I can do all things through Christ, the anointed one and his anointing, which strengthens me. So the anointing strengthens us. We don't have to come up with the strength on our own. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. Well, that walk in the Hebrew, it's understood to be only one thing, walking in the will of God. Not just walking and doing what you want to do, of course. From this passage, we can see the marvelous promise of God to restore and renew the strength of those who wait on him. I might add, wait properly on him. As the believer learns to wait on the Holy Spirit in all things, they will always find that they have the strength, physical and otherwise. Sometimes there's mental strength involved in that. Again, that's where revelation comes in. You can suffer a lot of darts coming through people. Of course, the devil's attack is on the mind. But when the revelation of God's will is strong in your heart, then it will override that every time. They will have the strength to accomplish any task which is set before them. The word dwell used in Romans 8:11 is the Greek word okio. inokio, which means to dwell habitually, to dwell as one would dwell at home, to make a permanent abode, unceasing fellowship with him. From this, we are able to see clearly the distinguishing feature of our relationship with the Holy Spirit. It is this close and never-ceasing relationship which the Holy Spirit desires with each one of God's children. But it must be clearly understood that this perfect relationship with him demands our whole surrender to him in all things at all times. Yeah, and again, I mentioned earlier about, this has really been on my heart lately, about us really desiring the Father's best in any situation, in the times of tarrying, in his presence. I mean, we can really go over our entire life and ministry, our family, whatever, and God just delights in that, because when we do that, he can give us revelation. He can begin the restoration process. As far as our believing, but as soon as we begin to believe, the restoration process has already started, whether it's in our own lives or whether we're praying for people. And believe me, the conflict of the ages, and that's what we're in now, is escalating. But you know, the more this, we're in a better position to withstand it. It's not like, oh, this is harder because there's a stronger warfare. Well, because Satan is literally in terror of the glorious church taking legs. But that's not a bad thing, because we are most certainly better equipped than we were last week or a month ago or a year ago. And we need to joy fair. I mean, that's an outstanding revelation, because that just says it all right there. Very important. Again, you know, one of the things that's been happening, the two words that have come up today are faithfulness and steadfastness in the things of God, holding fast the vision. But, you know, all these years that God has called us to persevere and to walk in faithfulness to a vision that in some cases not even in sight yet. But, you see, it's an internal thing That's real to us. The kingdom is real to us inside. We know that God's plan for the glorious church is going to come to pass. We may not be able to comprehend the whole thing. Well, why do we need to? But we do know it's true. And, you know, what this has produced, this perseverance and faithfulness we've been called to, and even still are being called to, it's producing within us the reality of who Jesus Christ really is. In other words, his lordship, his kingship, and who we are in him. And so these things are, and they're all for a purpose. I mean, everything we've gone through up until this point is to have prepared us perfectly for what's about to transpire in the physical. And I mean, we're going out, and I remember the type and symbol God gave me. You notice that every time the army of Israel went out to battle, they never even had a casualty. Sometimes they didn't even have to engage the enemy directly, and they had perfect victory. Why? Because they were in perfect covenant with God. Well, so will a blood-bought, spirit-filled, spirit-led church be. And so we are going to accomplish God's will in every way, shape, and form, and we are going to overcome in all things because we have a revelation of these things. We know who we are in Christ, and there's no room for fear in anything. There doesn't need to be fear because God is in control of our lives. And so our faith is strong. Faith works by love, and to the degree that we have a revelation of God's love for us, and in that case, causing us to have great love for God, then we are going to be found in that position of an absolute faith and trust in him. And you see, it's a team thing. So I guess what I'm talking to you about is the power of God, and he wants each and every one of us to be totally empowered by him. Getting back to divine health a bit here. Divine health is caused by the constant overflow of the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about an abiding position again. It's caused by the constant overflow of the Holy Spirit from the spirit of the believer, the inner man, into every channel of their physical body. I mean, that makes a lot of sense to me. But what the problem has been is that because people have held to fear, they've tried to do things in their own strength, the Holy Spirit has had to be a step aside, and that life is not flowing the way it should, but it's about to, as we let go. Maybe I'll do that now. I mean, this is the key scripture to divine healing and divine health, and it's Proverbs 4:20-23. He says, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their whole body." Is that not divine health? "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life." So there's a flowing here that goes, and life is continually flowing and quickening our mortal body. Now, as you know, the devil wants to stop us at any place he can. But if once a person's born again and spirit-filled, he wants to keep them sick, and he wants to keep them infirm, and keep them in a place of weakness. And God wants to override all that, and it's right there for us, and he gives us the perfect instructions. So that's an important scripture to meditate on. We need to see ourselves as vessels, not only fit vessels, well, as fit vessels, because when we're fit, when we're in the center of God's will, that, whether we feel it or not, but we will, that life is going to flow to us continually. And like I said before, and I've experienced this in glimpses, we are going to walk nonstop supernaturally till the catching away of the church. And believe me, in that place, there is no thought for the daily concerns or whatever the devil's trying to do. It's a place far above where the devil can go. And that will actually translate from the Holy Spirit, through our spirit, to our mortal bodies, to our minds, so that we're abiding in the mind of Christ. All these things working together. We're not going to just be a people who struggle to the end and then praise God because we're finally caught up out of here. That's just a lie of the enemy. He just loves people to believe that, but it's a lie. I have to share this vision with you, and it really goes for this time right now. I can't remember when this was, probably 8 years ago or so, and, you know, it was a war. You know, you look back at some of the things and you realize, well, God must have something for us because the devil certainly tried hard enough to stop us. So anyway, I had this vision of, I saw this finish line, what I thought was a finish line. And I thought, okay, that's represents the fullness of my calling. But I'm crawling on the ground. I mean, an inch at a time, you know. And I'm thinking, boy, I don't even know if I can make it that far, you know. And it was hard. I mean, it's hard when the vast majority of people are against you all the time. But the good news is we should take find our comfort in God and in His presence. But anyway, so I'm crawling towards this thing, and I finally make it. I'm thinking, boy, this isn't the way I thought you showed this to me, Father. But, you know, the amazing thing was this. As soon as I hit that, what I thought was a finish line, it turned into a starting line. And then the next thing, I saw myself on my feet, and just like that sprinter you mentioned, ready to run. And that was the point that God was speaking about. And He said, I'm bringing my people to a place of perfect consecration and the fullness of sanctification in their life. And when that time comes, and believe me, I don't care what it looks like, and I don't care what we feel like at times. That is the reality, and it will happen. And He said, and in that moment, in that time, it's just like, and this is the other vision He showed me right at the same time, he brought to mind the Kentucky Derby, and you know how the horses are in the gate, and they open that gate, I mean, they're out of there like a shot. And that's exactly what's going to happen at this, what I perceive to be a finish line. Now that was just representing the end of myself, or ourselves. And then, boom, once God has full control, we're seriously in business. And the devil's in trouble. But I will say the devil is trying to prevent us from getting to that place. But we're in that, we're inside of that, very much so. All right. The quickening of our mortal bodies is the direct operation of the Holy Spirit upon our vital organs and functions, with the fullness of this quickening ending in healing and ultimately in divine health. This divine health is caused by the constant overflow of the Holy Spirit from the spirit of the believer into every channel of their physical body. This, of course, also has a continual and supernatural effect on the soul, the mind, the will, and the emotions, and allows one to abide in the mind of Christ. And again, I'm living proof of that. I've seen the power of the Holy Spirit work. I mean, I didn't have much or many problems with things in my early life and getting on into early high school and so on. But, once the devil's attacks, he knew I was called before I did. That was my problem. So he began to set upon certain attacks and to get to that place where fear absolutely consumed me in my life, and depression, the whole works. So when I gave my heart wholly to the Lord, all hell broke loose. I mean, I lost my health. What I want to share with you was my mind came under such an attack of confusion that I couldn't think straight. And, you know, it was just hard. And I don't remember much of it now because as I began to get into the Word and I began to meditate in the Word and spend time in His presence, He just totally healed me. And not only did He heal me, but I came out way ahead of where I was before. And of course, we all will, because, you know, our minds are being renewed to the mind of Christ, of course. But the fact is, regardless of whether it's a physical ailment that the devil's been trying to trouble us with, or our mind, like entering into that place where we're abiding in the mind of Christ, the Holy Spirit is the answer. And if we're faithful to obey God day in and day out, we will reach the fullness of our potential. I mean, there's been remarkable testimonies, even people who were missing parts of their brain and so on were completely healed and restored. So there's no limit to what God can do. And I mean, we should know that, but more importantly, we should know that God wants to show Himself that way to the world. I mean, we're not going out there to just do little things. We're going out there to show the unlimited power of God to the world. And when they see that, they're going to make one of two decisions. They're going to run further into rebellion and darkness, or they're going to run right into the kingdom and live for God. So that's important. So that power of the Holy Spirit dwelling within us day by day will have that effect on our mortal bodies and on our minds. You know, and just to mention that, our will becomes strong. I mean, wholly given to the will of God. And our emotions are never in the driver's seat. And that's where we need to be to walk in the Spirit. So you see how all these things work together if we just give the Holy Spirit total control of our lives. Every believer must make it their priority to feed their spirit, their inner man, with the Word of God on a continual basis. For in doing so, the physical food for their body, and also the intake of the food for their soul, what we see and what we hear, will be controlled and guided by the Holy Spirit. And because of this, that child of God will not seek in any way to fulfill the lusts of the flesh. That's, again, walk by the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. I mean, I remember I tried not to fulfill the lusts of the flesh in my own strength, and you know, because it was, we need the power of God. I mean, think about it. If we had the power to overcome these things, Jesus wouldn't have to die. We don't have the power in us apart from the Holy Spirit. It is only in this way that one can enter into that place wherein they are continually cleansed from all defilement of flesh and spirit. That's 2 Corinthians 7:1. Perfecting holiness in the fear or reverence of God. Again, you know, going back to the key, these things are simple, but you know, it's come right down to the point now we're just going to have to do them. I mean, that's all that's required of us, is to obey what we know to do. And we do know some things. I mean, God has blessed us greatly over the years. But again, it's not like there's not a devil around trying to get us out of there, and he's wily in that sense. But again, the importance of abiding in that place of the ascension life that is seated with the right hand, at the right hand of the Father, with Christ in the heavenly places, then we're not ignorant of his schemes. If we're in the, I forget who gave the thing now, but we were talking about being in the valley, I think, you know, and I couldn't help but think about it, because the way God showed it to me was that there's a difference between standing up on the top of the gore, the hill there, or being in the middle of a forest. Well, you can't see anything when you're standing in the middle of a forest, even though the same situation exists. But your positioning allows you to see all things and know all things that you need to know. So again, in this last hour, positioning, extremely important. The life, this life, that is the life of the Holy Spirit, the life of God, is the force which flows into our spirits through the indwelling Word and empowers our entire being. Again, the importance of filling our heart with the Word of God. I mean filling our heart. I don't mean, you know, just putting a little dab here and there. That's not going to do it. And again, you know, these things are, they all are just a chain reaction. In other words, if we spend the proper time in the Word, in the fellowship in the presence of God, then it's just going to set all a spontaneous reaction. It's going to lead to sensitivity of heart. It's going to lead to a stronger desire to do the will of God. All these things. But if you don't do them, then it spirals the other way. And then our hearts get hard. And then everything's hard to do. But again, I'm talking to a people who desire to do the will of God. But it's just important to rise above those schemes of the enemy. Because I can tell you that he is going to come with some things, but we're going to be ready for him, and we're going to be able to not only rise above that attack, but also turn and crush him and put him to flight. He's having some serious terror issues with the thought of the glorious church becoming a reality in the earth. He is, and he's desperate, because it's going to be nothing but harm to him. Another thing, and I talked about this earlier a bit, but you know, when it comes down to that crunch time when you're seeking God and when you believe you have an instruction from God, we must never allow the way we feel or even the way we've thought up until that time to influence our decision to obey a command of God. That's very important. I mean, that's the devil's whole game. Oh, I don't feel like this. Oh, I don't feel like that. Well, I mean, in the early years, I mean, believe me, when I was under physical attack, I didn't feel like doing anything. And I mean, it was just, I mean, every step seemed to be, I almost could have journaled every step. That's about how slow it seemed. But the fact is that when we will operate and step out in faith, there will be a quickening. We are anointed to accomplish everything that God created us for perfectly. And we need to know that in our heart so that regardless and I don't really believe in this hour that in the midst of a faithful people that God's commands are going to come or should come as some sort of shock. I really believe that now it's just more of an unfolding of his heart desire for us. And that's important. We shouldn't be so far away from the heart of God that well, I don't know if that's God or not. I mean, we have to check everything out. I don't mean that. But I mean, it's just more of a flowing and a knowing, you know, and you do it. And then it's confirmed. And I mean, if you take a step and you're not quite sure if it's God's will and you take a step, but you're continuing to acknowledge God in all your ways, he'll just direct your course. It's not a hard thing. It's the willful stuff that causes problems. Well, I haven't got much into this, but I'm going to start this anyways. Another manifestation that comes from the indwelling Holy Spirit is the peace that passes all understanding. The perfect peace that's talked about in Isaiah. I mean, perfect peace. Peace is good enough in itself, but perfect peace really indicates that when we keep our mind stayed on God, because we trust in him, that's why we keep our mind on God, we trust in him, then regardless of what happens, we're going to have that peace and that joy. And I'm going to get it start there the next time, but it builds up to the joy. And again, the end result that we're looking for here is to fulfill our destiny in Christ, to fulfill perfectly the will of God. And again, that should be the deepest heart desire of every born-again child of God. And when it is, believe me, God's made the provision. So anyway, I think I'm going to end here, and I'll continue on the next time. But I've got to cover some things on that, and because it's important for us to have that peace and joy in this last hour. We're going to need that, and it's a wonderful thing, because we've all experienced the turmoil of the world. It's increasing. I remember there was a prophecy of, a friend of mine shared this with me. He actually had an experience, and one day he was sitting at his desk, and all of a sudden a spirit of all he could name it was a spirit of terror, a spirit of panic came on him, right out of the blue. And I mean, he didn't know what to do. He didn't know whether he was right side up or upside down. And it really had a profound effect on him. And so that ended almost as quickly as it began, after a few minutes. And God spoke to him, and he said, in the last of the last hour, he said, those of my people who maintain fear are going to leave themselves open to these types of spirits. And we've seen that. I mean, we've seen that since then. That was about 5 years ago. And that really caught his attention and really instilled in him the desire to allow the Holy Spirit to deal with any fear in his life. Because that's what's, and that's the suddenly I talked about before. So anyway, I'll continue on with that next time. And I'll talk about the peace and the joy of the Holy Spirit. And they are two keys to the kingdom, of course, to abiding in kingdom life. And then we'll go on and perhaps touch on a revelation knowledge, and see where God takes us there. Heavenly Father, we just praise you once again for the opportunity to gather together. And I just thank you, Father, for all that you've imparted to us tonight. And I just ask, Father, that the seeds that you have imparted to us, that you water them perfectly in our time and fellowship with you, and expand them in exactly the way that we need to have them expanded to our hearts. And we just praise you again, Father, for your continual and perfect preparation in our lives. And we just give you all glory and praise and honor. In Jesus' name, amen.